Welcome to the Yo-Yo Arm Podcast.
Time to listen up and download with Claire and Rosie.
They're gonna be talking deep and meaningful.
Yo-Yo
Arm.
.com. Yo-Yo
Arm.
Hi, I can't say guys.
No.
My brother's going to kill me if we say hey guys. We've been introducing the show as
hey guys.
Yeah. And it's driving him mental all the way from the jungle. So we're going to have to come up with something else.
And it's been quite tough actually to try and think of what to say.
Like, do we just say hello everybody?
Oh, hey you.
Hey person.
Hey gorgeous.
Hey fantastic, beautiful humans.
Yeah. So we may trial a few different versions of how we say hello and open and see what Claire's brother says.
We're probably just going to actually say, yo.
Yo, yo, arm.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah.
Or maybe everybody is another thing we're not allowed to say.
I know. I think it's, you know, it's talking to the individual.
Touching the heart.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, hey brother, hey brother, how are you doing?
Maybe that's how we should do it.
Hey Shane, what is up? I hope you're doing well in the jungle, in lockdown.
Yeah, so it's been a while since we have been on to do a podcast. It's been like a month or...
It's been 2 months.
Oh, whoa.
It's, well, okay. No, a month and a half. Oh no, it's been 2 months.
2 months.
Because it was August when we moved, the middle of August. So it's the middle of October now, and we just did a podcast before we moved.
Yeah, it does feel like 2 months, actually, when you think about it. But we've just had so much going on, and we moved house, which was like a big thing, because then we'd only just moved in, and a few days later we were off to Prague doing this kind of training and just more experiences for ourselves. So it was a bit hectic trying to settle into the new house and all this kind of thing, as well as all that mad processing that we were doing as well.
So clients got priority, work got priority.
Yeah, and we were just actually putting together our Food Is Not The Issue course, which we're looking at all the content, everything that we've created. Last night we were looking at all the content and we were like, wow. Yeah. Actually, we have done so much.
It's mental.
Yeah, so it kind of makes sense, actually, that we didn't have the time and space to get this second one done, because the last one, if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it, about the relationship with food. Food is not the issue. And it was there was so much for us to talk about, we decided to do part two. So today is part two.
2 months later, which is probably why we should never do two parts. It's like typical, the first time we split it, we don't record a podcast in a few months instead of a few weeks.
So apologies for that. Anyone that was kind of like hanging on
for the next part. And actually so much has changed food-wise for us since. So it's kind of interesting to even know, because we had to listen back to the last podcast just to see what we covered and what we didn't cover. And even just listening back, like talking about veganism for me and talking about like orthorexia and how I used to really control food in an unhealthy way, and it was from like only eating healthy foods, and then to see even where I am now in terms of what I feel about things and how certain things have shifted just in 2 months, it's like just shows that we're constantly evolving and constantly able to look at ourselves on new levels. There's always something new to look at.
Yeah, I don't know how you want to start, actually, whether we go straight in with where we are now and what we're doing now, and then track back to the kind of developmental stages from the more unhealthy version of us to now, or just go straight back to...
I think maybe straight back to the unhealthy to now makes more sense.
Yeah. Cool. So maybe I'll start. Yeah. Like, one of the biggest kind of changes for me was around about 2016, and this is when I was still kind of heavily doing the binge eating behaviours. And I really thought that was it. I just couldn't figure out how I was going to stop this behaviour. And I'd been looking online for lots of different things. I'd I used to go to meetings in Leeds, like in this group. It was like, I don't know even what it was. I don't know what it was called. I think it was just for like eating disorders. But there was all types of different people. So people with anorexia, people that were obese. And I was there looking like frigging Wonder Woman. Turning up absolutely shredded and fucking hench. And we were like writing, the woman was like talking to us and we were writing stuff. And I went for a few times and I was just like, this is not for me. This is not working. And I felt a bit embarrassed, actually, because I felt like maybe people thought that I didn't have an issue because I looked
belong there.
Yeah, because I looked like an athlete. And even then, maybe I started questioning, have I got an issue? Because maybe I felt like mine weren't as serious because they looked externally like they had a problem. Mm. So it wasn't a good experience. It wasn't an experience that helped me.
That's one of the traps as well sometimes. It's when you externally look really fit and healthy, it's like, oh, clearly she doesn't have an issue, what's she talking about?
So I was going through a lot of different processes up to that point where I was kind of seeking and reading and trying to find out what the hell I could do. And then I got this opportunity to go and do some dancing over in Germany, which was a huge thing for me because prior to bodybuilding, dance had always been my thing, my passion and my way of kind of feeling really good in myself. And I'd let a lot of that go because I chose to kind of focus on the bodybuilding. So to get the opportunity to go and do that in a professional setting, that was amazing for my heart and for my soul. It felt like, oh God, thank God. I really remember feeling like if I never get a chance to dance again, I'm happy for that experience in Germany that I got to do that. I felt really fulfilled. But what happened was there was just this big shift because I was away from bodybuilding. I was in a different country. I was with completely different people. I was on my own as well. I was living on my own there. So my environment had completely changed, and the stresses and pressures that I had been kind of accustomed to in my day-to-day around bodybuilding had gone. Also, the need to diet for anything had completely gone, the need to prepare or train completely gone. So everything that I was used to that had was conditioning me and my environment completely changed. But so I felt a lot better in myself, and it kind of opened up a portal, I think, of what other potential there was for me. I wasn't aware of this, but I think it was like this opening to maybe connect to my soul that was like, there's something else. So it just kind of created this shift, and it created like a domino effect. And I became really, really aware that even though I was really happy and I felt fulfilled and I was dancing and doing all the stuff that I loved, I was still binging or I was still overeating. So it kind of highlighted even more to me what this needs to go. And I found this study around NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So I just started learning more about the brain and the effects of habits and patterns and different triggers and stresses and stuff. And I just remember feeling so much relief because I was like, oh my God, I'm not broken. Like it made sense to me and I could understand on like a biological level what was happening to my body when I was eating, what was happening to my brain chemistry and the reasons why I was stuck in this loop. And I was just so relieved and it made absolute sense to me.
Yeah, because one of the reasons we get stuck is because we believe that we can't change or we're broken. Yeah. And that's like a massive thing that's in the way of people actually getting over this stuff.
Yeah, and it was, I guess as well, because I was in this space where I had this, every time I came home from the dancing, I was on my own at night. So I had the time and the space to really kind of commit to implementing all these new practices I'd found. So I spent the next 4 weeks, every single day, I was really acting. Taking action on the new information that I'd found. And this is another thing, like if you're kind of struggling with different patterns and limiting behaviours and things in your life that you don't like, it's one thing kind of connecting to understanding about it and wanting to change, but you have to take action.
To do it. You have to break the pattern.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to take action. And I really committed to this. I was ready to change. I didn't want to continue with that. I was sick to death of it. So I spent 4 weeks, every night I spent about 2 hours researching, doing these practices. So I was physically standing up and going into these visualizations and the meditations and writing down my beliefs, rewriting them, trying to understand what was going on for me. Every time I went in the morning for my coffee, I would go, because one of the things that I found was like reframing, like a visualization, reframing the old foods that you used to crave. So I purposefully put myself in places where I could look at foods that I used to crave, so I could practice this visualization to just kind of reframe the... Someone's chaining messages.
Miller.
Yeah, so I could retrain my brain and the chemical response to certain foods that I'd got kind of this attachment to. So I was doing things every day to change this. And I kind of, sometimes I don't want to say this because I don't want people to feel like their journey's not going as quick or they're doing something wrong or whatever. But within 4 weeks, I'd completely changed my relationship with food.
And that's because you committed to it and you wanted it. You really wanted to change. Yeah, it's so important to actually connect to that value and know, you know what, I really do want a different life. I don't want to be like this.
And I really believe that anyone can do that.
Mm-hmm. You just have to want
it. I was messed up with my eating, and it had been 10 years of those patterns, and in 4 weeks I broke it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say that in a way like to make it a competition or to make people feel like they have to do it at that speed or whatever, but I committed to the process. I really wanted to change. I took action and managed to change my life because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the option is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's important to say that, to let people know as well that you can create those big changes.
And just around patterns, I mean, it's like Newton's law. When something is in motion, it stays in motion until it's broken.
Yeah.
So people will know they have these issues, but they don't take the action to change it consistently. It's not like you do it once. Like, you have to do it every day. You have to do it over and over and over and over for the pattern to become the new pattern. Because if you had a 10-year binge eating issue and then all of a sudden you think, oh, well, I'll do one day without doing it, that's not going to break the pattern.
No.
You need to do a solid block of time that will form a new habit that will allow you to actually be free of the old patterns. And even at that, there's still certain parts of them that would be ingrained. So you need to consistently practice the new way before it becomes the normal for you and natural and the way you are. So it's like knowing that when something's in motion, it does not stop. Like, it's like a wheel.
Yeah, you need to put a stick in it.
Yeah, stick the stick in the wheel.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you come off the handlebars. Like, it's going to be worth it.
It's painful and uncomfortable.
It really is. And it is so important to have that repetition of these new patterns. All the things that we put now in our Food Is Not the Issue course, we have lots of new kind of insights and learnings, and combined, myself and Claire, the kind of insights and the knowledge that we have and that we share, like, crikey, we've put in so much
work in it,
so much. And one of the things that is in there is a practice around pattern breaking and triggers, and the pattern break in particular, and language, actually. So for me, two of the ones that really stick out in my mind that really helped me was the pattern break. Because it was identifying my triggers and the patterns that led up to a binge. So that might be the kind of physical, the environment I might have noticed if I was at certain shops or if I was with a certain person that would lead to a binge. So identifying that and really knowing yourself really well so that you could stop yourself in your tracks before you go into zombie mode where you're just like unconsciously eating. And then putting in this pattern break. So I did like a tapping on my head. And I really did that every time I had a craving to binge. I would stop before the point of binge and tap out a little rhythm on my head. And it's this old, people might remember the old elastic band thing that people used to do on the wrist.
Snapping it.
Yeah, and there's a real science behind this and why it works for the brain. It
scrambles the nervous system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it allows you to, and we've spoken about this on other episodes, but it allows you to create these new dendrites in the brain. So there's actually a response, a chemical response happening in the brain, where you have these electric sort of impulses and pulses that are going back and forward with neurons in the brain, and they create these grooves. And the more times you do something, the deeper this groove gets, and it's kind of like embedded then. It's a pattern, it's a habit, it's in your unconscious. Mm-hmm. And it's the path of least resistance that you always go to when you're experiencing whatever it is that leads you up to that normal behaviour.
Yeah.
So you get a chance where you can step in and just stop what you would normally do and then create a new pattern. So the breaking the pattern can be something like a clap, it can be shouting, it can be stamping the foot, elastic band on the wrist, whatever. And then you have to then go and do something else. And it can help to go and do something else that also releases
pleasure hormones.
Yeah, yeah. Like dopamines and stuff. So it might be like going for a run, or it might be taking a nice bath, having sex, whatever.
Something healthier than the binge eating.
Something healthier, yeah, that's not so destructive. Mm. Yeah.
And a lot of that pattern breaker stuff is literally to get you out of those destructive behaviours that are actually deteriorating your life, yeah, that are like towards death, towards absolute disease and like dishealth, if that's a word.
Dishealth. unease, disease.
Disease. Yeah. Dishealth. I've just made it up. It is. It's a word now. We do that a lot.
Yeah. So I guess like for me, that was such a big turning point, but then I was still in the bodybuilding world, so I never binged again after that.
Mm-hmm.
I would overeat still, but I never binged.
It wasn't crazy.
No, yeah. Never again. So that was like a huge relief. But then, because I was still in that world of bodybuilding, the pressure, the stress, like not really aligned with what I really wanted to do, I would still be kind of overeating and feeling unhealthy with my kind of eating habits.
So just kind of soothing because you weren't on purpose.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
that
basically
happens a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like a big pattern actually for people that have issues with food is they're not doing things that they love.
Yeah.
So whatever they're doing in their life is not fulfilling them. Therefore, they need the food to fulfill them, basically.
Yeah.
It's like filling a void of not being connected to your true purpose.
Yeah.
When you're in your true purpose, you just flow. Food isn't even a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, can't remember the last time I've eaten.
Yeah.
That happens for me now when I get into creative flow. Just be doing something for hours and hours and hours and then realise, oh, I haven't eaten today, or I better eat something.
And it's really, like, I guess I just really want to say as well how important it is to know that if you're in a space right now where all you think about is food and you feel like it controls you and it's, you just days are consumed thinking about it, when's the next episode of whatever it is you're kind of doing, it's, you can completely get rid of that. That can completely go and you can mm-hmm. get your life back.
Yeah. If food is consuming you and you're consuming food,
yeah,
it's this mad cycle of like being completely consumed by it and lost in a really dark place. So it's like we're both proof that you can change the worst patterns and you just have to connect to doing it and taking action and actually committing to doing the steps like you did for 4 weeks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. What do you feel like your biggest shift was? I know, like on the last episode, you were talking about the big change when you were kind of spending all that money and the fish tank story. That was like a big like this is not
wake up call.
So with your food, what happened? What changed in that time? And how long do you feel like it took you?
For me, mine was definitely a lot different to yours. I think this is why our course is so valuable, because we've had such different experiences. So I didn't do any of the... I knew about like a lot of this stuff, like CBT and NLP and stuff, but because, I guess for me, I started to wake up on a very deep level to like truth and what the universe is and why we are the way we are. And it was a long process of about 4 years of just delving into why I was the way I was on a truth level. So going into like my emotional issues as to why I needed to control my shape in the first place. And it took a long time for me to get out of the trying to control my body, but it was gradual and I didn't have to do anything drastic with it. So for me, it was all about connecting to the value and wanting to change. So for me, I was like, this cannot continue the way I am. I have enough of this. But also, I had to let go of the body image. So for me, the number one thing was for me to be okay if I changed, if my body shape changed. And it's really funny to notice as well, when I let go of that and I was still eating normally, my body shape changed, even the way I was still eating the same foods. But it was like because I had let go of the need to be so tight, my body relaxed. So my body started to naturally go softer. And that was really strange for me because I didn't actually change my food. So it shows as well how you believe about your body, like what you believe about your body actually shapes your body. It's yourself.
100%.
It's like our beliefs. Like we're always talking about Bruce Lipton because it's such an important piece of work. But my beliefs were definitely shaping because I wanted to be lean. I was lean. And my body literally was responding to what I was telling it was. And then after that, I had to let go of the need to be lean. And for me, that meant letting go of the idea that I need to be lean and then the belief that I was lean. So I just naturally started to lose that hardness. I started to get softer around the edges, but it wasn't through like loads of different food choices or like even routine choices. I was already not training in the gym because I was so resistant to it. So I wasn't doing much training, but literally just that decision. And I guess things that like physically helped me, doing the fasts. So I started to do these extended fasts because I really felt like I needed to have a break from food because the cycle was so intense in my system. Like you're eating day in, day out, and there's so much food going in that I felt like I just need to stop everything, like press pause, which for me, like looking back now, was actually a pattern breaker and a big one because I wasn't eating at all. So it went to the totally other extreme, which allowed my system and my gut to have a rest and I guess for a lot of repair to happen and a lot of chemicals to rebalance in the brain. So I did like a series of fasts over maybe like 6 months or so, and I started to feel different about food. So I was starting to eat and feel okay about just eating normal amounts of food and not worrying about what would happen to my shape because I let go of bodybuilding, which was the number one pivot point, was when I decided to announce that I wasn't competing. Then all of a sudden I didn't have to live up to that anymore. But I still continued for like 2 years of doing shoots and being the fitness person because that was still my identity after it. But I would say when I made that decision, and it was actually funny, Miller texted me there because it was, I went on live on my Instagram and announced it with him.
I remember this.
Because he was really a big part in like coaching me at the time, even though just as a friend, he was just massively interested in me because it was so weird. And because he was like obsessed with like personal development, I guess I was kind of interesting because I was champion, but then also he didn't know the extent of what was going on for me. But because of the, I guess the coaching I got by being his friend, I actually started to delve into myself in really deep levels. And I remember just meeting a series of people that just put into my awareness a different way. And it was when I went to Thailand and I met that guy that I was seeing for a while afterwards, and he was totally different and he was very awake. So it kind of, I started to have hints of my old life when I was in yoga, that like being that expanded and conscious, and I kind of felt like I started to emerge again and wake up again. So after being asleep for years doing bodybuilding, I just started to delve on into the deeper layers, and this time it was with a completely different awareness. So yeah, it was just like a process of 4 or 5 years of actually waking up and delving into my emotional issues around. And for me, it was body image. Okay, why do I feel like I need to be this way? Where has this come from? And that was massively on beliefs level. But it was through a process of me just getting obsessed, trying to figure out why we're here on this earth, rather than it being about the food or about changing anything. It was like, no, I actually need to figure out why I'm here. What's my purpose? And I kept connecting to, well, I probably realize one day that when I'm over all of this shit with foods, that a big purpose will be for me to share how to get over it. And I kept connecting to that. What if my main reason to be here on this planet is to help other people who are stuck in these cycles?
Yeah, instead of being like ashamed of our kind of the things that we at one point see as failures or like our shadow aspects, It's like when you start to bring them into the light, you feel that is actually part of your power.
Yeah.
And when you can really own all of those parts and start to share them, it's like, wow.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because it is, our deepest pain always transforms into our deepest power. Yeah. So it's like we've been through the shit. That's why we are where we are now and why we're able to speak cleanly about it. Because it's like, all right, this was who I was then and that's what I was doing and it has made me who I am now. Like, I think I said on the last episode that I am really grateful for all this, like, my mother's issues, because I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have competed. I'm grateful for the fact that I didn't feel love on certain levels from my dad. Like, no blame on him or her. It's like, these made me who I am, these things that I didn't get. So it's like, yeah, for me, it was just a big process of waking up.
Mm.
Waking up to my reality,
wakey.
Yeah. Wakey, wakey, time to
don't figure eggs and baking.
Time to figure something out about this food. Mm. Like, what are these weird behaviours about and why am I doing them?
And it really is a lot about these kind of beliefs as well. And you were talking about the fasting.
Mm.
I started doing fasting as well, and we were doing one at the same time.
By accident, once, yeah.
By accident, I went over to see Claire in Dublin, and one of us messaged the other and said, oh, I'm kind of on a fast, so is it okay if we don't eat? And it was like, what? I'm on a fast? And we were doing the same amount of time as well. It was so bizarre. So we ended up...
weird.
We were both fasting.
We did a photo shoot.
We did a photo shoot in the freezing cold next to the sea. And then we ran up to... the happy pair and had the nicest bowl of porridge. Mm. Like, at the end of it, you couldn't have enjoyed porridge more.
And a vegan croissant.
Oh my God, it was so nice. Good. But yeah, like, I started playing with the fasting as well. Mm. And it really changed my beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden I saw that I didn't have to eat for 24 hours if I didn't, like, I'd been eating 6 meals a day for ages.
Mm-hmm.
And felt like hunger was the worst thing you could imagine. Oh my God, I'm hungry, I'm losing muscle, or all these kind of things that you kind of get instilled in you. So to start doing fasting really did change things for me as well. And it also led me on a journey to learn more about the gut, to learn about inflammation in the system. And another, probably the next big kind of pivotal change for me was when I did a long period of time. I think I did 2 months actually, where I was doing an anti-inflammatory way of eating.
Mm-hmm.
Or elimination. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to.
I love elimination.
Oh God, it's one of the best things I've ever done. And we were talking earlier about coming out of bodybuilding, or anyone that has been living in a way that was kind of not in harmony with the body. So if you have been yo-yo dieting, if you've been binge eating,
even taking drugs.
Anything. Yeah. And I did all of it. I put it all in a bag and just shook it up for fucking years. So
lucky dip.
I know. Yeah, what should I do today?
Pick and mix.
Yeah. So it was like, for me, one of the biggest things that I just needed to get out of kind of... because what I found was when I stopped the bodybuilding... the binge eating had already kind of subsided, 2016. I still had tendencies to overeat and I was still massively emotional eating. This was something that I was like, what is this? Like, there's still this annoying thing around food that I really want to be healthy, really want to feel good. But at the end of work, I would still go and get 2 chocolate bars or a big muffin. And it was just like, I don't mind doing that. Like, I don't feel... really that bad, and there was no kind of worries about the way it was.
Guilt.
No guilt, and it wasn't making my body change or anything. But I just knew that that was not it. This was not,
it's not healthy.
The way I wanted to eat for my health and like my gut function and this kind of stuff. So I did this long period where I ate very minimal amounts of food. So I think I only had something like 3 or 4 different foods. And then I started adding other ones in. After about 4 weeks, I started adding other foods in. And the funny thing was as well, actually, that prior to that, I was probably eating about 2,500 calories a day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did the elimination, I only was eating around 1,200 calories. But it was all about optimizing gut function and eating what you could absorb. Because my gut was messed up and my hormones were messed up, I wasn't absorbing it. Yeah. So I was eating food and had constipation. So my body wasn't functioning, it wasn't assimilating it or doing what it needed to do. So it was just like clogging in the system and creating inflammation. So for a while, I really needed very little food. Mm-hmm. And I felt incredible. Mm-hmm. My eyes were whiter, my skin, I was just like, I felt great. Mm. And then just, yeah, like I said, started implementing new foods, different vegetables and...
See how your system responds.
Exactly, because you have this base point then where you bring everything back to like a balanced state. And then, because you're only eating a few different foods, you know that all of those foods are fine, because I would wake up in the morning, I felt alert. My eyes were white, not red and
yellow.
You
weren't inflamed.
I wasn't inflamed. I didn't have like the mucus that I would normally get down the back of the nose and the throat. No bloating. I was able to go to the toilet, all these different things. Stomach felt super sort of...
tight.
Yeah, just like everything had been absorbed and digested by the morning, and it was just like, oh, it's a new day. So then whenever you do add new foods in, if anything happens where you get a little bit stuffy in the nose, you know that that food doesn't agree with you. So that for me was a huge turning point and really allowed me to bring my system back to, allowed me to get to know my body again, actually.
And that's the intuition.
Yeah.
And I just keep thinking about our courses, because I've had like all of these phases as well at different points. Yeah. So like I would have done the elimination diet when I was doing the CrossFit. So I already had the information about what my system did and didn't like before, but I had to do it again after bodybuilding.
She ignored it.
I ignored it. I didn't listen because I wanted to bodybuild and I wanted to be shredded. It's like, it's mad to watch how you can have all of the information, but if you've got emotional shit going on, you can't implement it, because the number one fractal is being lean.
Well, how many people, there'll be so many people out there that have loads of qualifications around nutrition,
don't practice it,
all these different things, but they'll still have a disordered way of eating, because it's this emotional thing that's not being looked at.
Yeah, and that's why for me it was so important to delve into the emotions, because I'd done every diet already, and it was like, well, I know the diets don't work, so why am I doing this? And it was really going into those levels of needing to connect to a value and being different. And actually, I'm thinking about it now as well. If you think about AA and how recovery happens and how they kind of really push spirituality in AA, which is probably a really nice aspect to it, they need to update their system. But I mean, it's not very well-rounded anymore. But the fact that I went towards spirituality and delving on those levels, like on a truth level, into why we're here and purpose and connecting to your higher purpose, that's exactly where they kind of guide you in AA. It's to go to God, it's to go to a higher purpose, to spirituality. But theirs is all a belief in God that's external to you. Mine is the God inside me,
the goddess
inside. So it's all about empowerment, because that's just more true. But yeah, it's just funny to notice how those things actually really link over for me around my recovery, we'll say, or getting back to where I am.
And this is like, these elements are all in the Food Is Not the Issue course, so it's teaching people or giving them the information to tune into their own intuition and to learn about the importance of balancing the gut, sleep, all the different hormones. So it's like a lot of the stuff that you'll see about intuitive eating, people go through this phase of actually just eating whatever springs to mind. So it's like, I feel like a pork pie. That's my intuition speaking. Better listen.
That's the cravings or the emotional connection to that food or whatever is going on.
Yeah.
And actually we developed two other programs, the intuitive eating program and the reset program. Mm. And these are off the back of our own experience from resetting your system.
So important.
You have to do it. You have to clean things out. Yeah. And even now, I've developed another plan called the Pranic High Vibrational Plan. That is another reset again. And it's just a little bit more detailed and more intense. So our reset program is for like the initial phase. And then you can go on to like higher phases where you're eliminating even more things.
But so important before you start stepping into intuitive eating,
to do that,
it's really good to do this reset. Because how are you supposed to listen to your intuition
it's clogged.
When everything's so out of balance, so you don't know what your stomach's saying, I'm hungry, but you've just eaten. So is that intuition? No, that's an imbalance.
The gut bacteria.
Yeah, gut bacteria or your hormones, your ghrelin and I was going to say leptin.
Leptin.
Your leptin is out of whack. So it's sending signals that are not correct. So getting your actual body chemistry in balance so that it's functioning properly and sending you the right messages from your sensations and emotions, as well as doing all the emotional work, the journaling, figuring out, because we have like a hunger scales, don't we? Practice in the intuitive eating that tells you all the different kind of levels of hunger, but also the types of hunger.
Head hunger.
Yeah.
Eating on the clock.
Yeah.
Are you listening to your heart, emotional hunger, or are you actually physically hungry, or are you craving something, or are you eating because you're conditioned to eat breakfast, dinner, and lunch at a certain time?
Yeah.
Like, these are all patterns and behaviors that we're conditioned to do.
Yeah.
And actually, the two of us are examples now of people who really don't follow any kind of rules around timing.
Mm-mm.
Like eating it first thing in the morning. I very rarely would do that ever. No. Now. I have my celery juice now, but I don't have any food for hours and hours and hours because I function better. My brain is really sharp. So it's all the same benefits of fasting, but just not on purpose. I just am listening very closely to my system. And I would say probably like one of the main advantages of us being on the other side of this now is what happens when you're so extreme one side. You've damaged yourself so much that you actually have a real need to repair your gut. You have a real need to want to find balance again. So you end up being absolutely nerdy and trying everything to the extreme on the other side to get your system back into balance.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes. It's just up and down.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, that was a load of crap. This really works. Mm-hmm. That completely changed my life.
Yeah.
Okay, let's share these tools.
Yeah. And they work. And we've tried and tested them. So nothing that we have created is not something that we haven't really fully experimented and experienced ourselves. And even just ourselves to continually check and check in with. We're not resting on anything being the solution. It's like we are constantly evolving. How we eat is constantly evolving, and how that makes us feel is evolving. The planet's evolving, things are changing, so beliefs are changing around how much food we actually need. We all definitely eat way too much food. We're conditioned to over consume on all levels. And if you think about like people's states, they would be like in a massively anxious state and burning a lot more calories if you're stressed. And then you need to eat more as a result. So you're not energy efficient at that point. So it's like kind of looking at why you're stressed and dealing with the underlying anxiety that makes you much calmer so that your system's not burning.
So much about this. Like, I know that something that has been, we were just talking earlier, and just to kind of go over that point of things are always changing and we're always looking at things. We were just having a conversation before because I feel blocked up today, so a little bit constipated. So then it's like just thinking, what food did I eat yesterday? What could that be? Also like massively with stress. Stress is most people are in their sympathetic state nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than parasympathetic, and constipation and gut problems are hugely linked to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of looking at these deep, always looking at the deeper layers of the emotional things, the environment, the stress that we might be facing. That's why food is not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like something for me, constipation will have been something that's something that I would get a lot.
That's because of your elements.
Yeah, because of my elements, more air, but also because I can be in a heightened state, so more in the sympathetic. So knowing that doing simple things like breath work can really help your gut function. Mm-hmm.
Which is why we included them in the program as well.
Yeah.
So alternate nostril breathing brings your nervous system back into balance, down into parasympathetic, so that you're actually balancing the nervous system and changing the state of it, so that you're no longer in that state where you need to get out of it and you need to escape it and you need to eat to change it, or you need to do something to bring you down to earth, basically. And food is just happens to be one of those things that does ground us.
Yeah.
So if you are somebody who's like massively up in the air or like stressed or anxious, or your natural state is like that because of trauma or whatever, it's to know that actually you could have a overeating issue because of that. And it's to look at that as opposed to the food, because we tend to just focus on the food because the symptom is I'm overweight or I'm unhealthy or this or that. And then we go, oh, well, the food will change it. But actually you're trying to control something which brings up stuff emotionally. Mm. So when you try and restrict your food, you start to feel things. So it's like things come up emotionally and then you end up binging to get away from that. So even knowing that, like, we use food in our courses to delve into emotional issues, because when you take out food and you go on a reset program where you're only eating a couple of foods, so much stuff comes up emotionally. It's like, oh my God, I can't soothe now. And oh my God, I'm hungry. And what does this feel like? So we use it as a tool now to get people to journal.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what are you sitting with? What is present here for you? Why do you feel like this? And to really go into the work that no one wants to go into. And this is why it's such a big industry, because people are trying to fix the symptoms. It's like medicine. It's like people are just trying to medicate, and they're trying to medicate with different diets. And it's not about that. It's about going into the reasons why you have those patterns, the reasons why you feel this way around food, the reasons why you feel like this when you're hungry, the reasons why you're eating at night when you're alone, the reasons why you want to look like that person. And there's so many layers that, like, you just keep unfolding it.
And it's not fun. No. It's not fun.
It's so not easy,
like,
either.
If you don't want to do it, it's better to just admit, I'm not going to commit to this change, actually.
Yes. And then you can relax and enjoy yourself.
Exactly. And just stop judging and pressuring yourself to be on some sort of diet or whatever. Like, when, because one of the layers for me, big layers for me, was then looking at all the different emotional eating. And it's so funny, we have these, oh, I've got emotional eating. Yeah, but what emotions? Why? Like, we kind of have this habit of giving tags to things that we do, and then that's it. We just stay there and we don't actually question anything. So the whole kind of idea of emotional eating, like, it's such a big learning for me, because I figured out loads of stuff from just sitting with the feelings before, instead of eating. So the feeling that I would get, which would lead me to impulsively eat, I would stop, not eat. I would usually eat eventually.
Yeah.
But I would have 5-10 minutes where I would just sit there and be like, what actually is this feeling? And it's kind of good to go underneath the emotion to the actual sensation in the body first, because that's the initial driving thing. And I'd be like, what is it? And it would sometimes feel like fingers rubbing together, like, what's that? And then it's like, oh, it's like in my chest, like a fluttering, or feels like I'm looking around. And what is it? Anxiety?
A bit frantic.
Yeah, it's like frantic. And I would shut my eyes and go into visualization. And when you go into visualizing and you're kind of connecting, it's like the bridge from the subconscious to the conscious. You're kind of getting this little message from inside them. So I was able to realize there was things from childhood where it was like this absolute fear of uncertainty. So anytime that I wasn't quite sure what was happening or how things were going to go, or what was everyone feeling, that was this uncertainty, and it was still in my system, and it was leading me to eat because that would calm that feeling. There was another time that I realized I was eating out of loneliness, and that was a new thing. I hadn't felt that before. I didn't know what it was, but just taking the time to actually sit there with that feeling and cry and allow it in brought me so much learning.
And it's just bringing consciousness to your behaviors. All right, it's like taking a moment to pause instead of doing the automatic pattern straight away. Even if you end up doing it, it's to go, okay, what do I feel here? And it's bringing awareness every time. And then we kind of, we can joke now, if we are doing something, we can say, oh, well, I know why I'm eating this food, or I know why I have this behavior, or we know what's going on here. So, like, you're actually making conscious decisions to still choose the pattern, then you need to look at why you're doing that. You know, so it's like more consciousness, more awareness every time you do something.
And it really, that is really the key to things falling away. They get lighter
every time.
Because you realise it's not something that's happening to you. You realise it's not out of your control, it's part of you.
Yeah, and it's actually fully owning everything. It's like we get caught as well with eating disorders and blame.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just because, like you were saying with the labels, that it's why we get rid of all labels. They're super disempowering to say, I have an eating disorder, I have a binge eating issue, I have this, I have that, I am just this way, I just overeat, like all of these things. They keep you where you are and they don't allow you to own it. So we end up blaming the eating disorder for how we are as opposed to owning it. And the reason people don't want to own it is the shame, the blame, the responsibility. That means it's my fault. We can't be a victim anymore to the eating disorder. We are now a victim to ourselves. And then it's like, all right, well, I don't want to be a victim to myself because that's self-abuse. All right, well, let's change this so, because that is the truth. And it's facing up to the truth that many people are stuck in avoiding because it's just too much shame. Usually it's usually just shame behind it. They don't want to admit it and they don't want to realize that it's actually their fault and they can't blame it on something external to them.
Yeah.
So for me, it was very much owning everything. Oh, I'm going to own everything. Why am I doing that to myself? And then realizing the loops of self-abuse I had going on was massive.
Absolutely. Owning it, but also doing the full loop of understanding why it's happening so that you can feel compassion
towards yourself.
Towards yourself, so that it's like owning the shit. But being able to
welcome it in and say sorry.
Yeah, and not be like hating on yourself and using words like I'm disgusting,
useless,
all these things that we say to ourselves when we're kind of going through something like that, because that is just compounding the issue. And I can really feel, actually, I can really sink into times when I would have been like say if I was getting ready for bodybuilding and then I would have had a big binge. And you just sat there inside yourself, just like, what is wrong with me? Why am I like this? So how much power is there in understanding exactly why?
And that's why we've had to do this. Our issues have been so intense.
Yeah.
It's like, well, actually, do you want to be stuck with this forever? No. And then connecting to a higher purpose and doing something different shifts your value onto something that wasn't about food. And for me, it was not about body then. So, okay, if I let go of the body identity, and actually for me, I really had to let go of that. So when my body did start to change, when I started to eat differently, allowing myself to fully eat intuitively again. So I really went back to how I would have eaten before when I was doing yoga, but then it was like really not limiting or like putting any kind of restrictions or control was really important for me. And you will remember my phases of noodles. Like I did the reset to extreme. I just ate turmeric noodles for months.
It was so weird.
But it was what I wanted.
And everything was yellow.
Everything was yellow. I had a massive yellow phase. And it's funny when you start to allow yourself to really eat intuitively, how you start to notice the colours of the foods are related to your emotions. So like if you know anything about energy centres, chakras basically, in like it's in yoga and it's in different holistic therapies, it's about energy centres in your body. And they all have different colors. So the base one is red, the next one up is yellow, the next one up, which is solar plexus, is yellow. Sorry, the other one's orange. And then it goes to blue, to green, to purple, green to green, blue, purple. Yeah. It's to notice when you're processing certain emotions, you actually naturally go towards certain colors. So for me, I was going through a massive self-worth identity thing in my solar plexus. So all of my food is yellow. Bananas, bread on toast, egg on toast. Eggs. And then I went through a massive phase of turmeric noodles, which was like a
carrot.
Big reset.
Oh no, that was orange. That orange was later. Phase.
And then I had a huge, I'm on kind of a red phase still actually, red and green.
Yeah.
But it's more now because I'm doing a totally different way of eating anyway. So I'm doing like a pranic kind of lifestyle now, which is totally different that we'll probably talk about in a little bit.
Pranic. Yeah, it's mad and it's really kind of powerful to just go into all these different layers, and it's like looking back, it just feels like a completely different person.
Even from the start of the year.
Yeah,
it's weird
to think that I would have used to have been looking at my watch every half an hour to see when I could eat again, and in between meals I would always need like a Diet Coke or something. A spoonful of peanut butter, or like I couldn't even go an hour without eating. It was plagued me. Food plagued me. I was,
It's so nice to be free of it then on the other side. It's like not having those issues anymore allows you to focus on other things. So if you are one of those people who thinks about food all day long and that actually does plague you, it used to torture me as well, because if you're starving and you're used to being in that state, your body is naturally telling you to eat, 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 eat. So all day long, your brain's going eat, 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 eat food. What's my next meal? You consume so much of your time and energy just thinking and planning your food. And it's like, do
no
you
wonder
want...
you're exhausted at the end of the
it's
day.
Mental.
And, yeah.
Food's controlling you completely. And it's because you're letting it. But it's kind of like just even bringing this awareness. It's like, all right, if you really want to change, you need to delve into these things. There is no way around it. There is no diet that is going to fix you. There is no solution that is a diet. Yes, there are ways of eating now that we are exploring that make you feel energetically better, and different kinds of systems that you can start to listen to and tune into. But the most intelligent system, when you allow yourself to tune back into your body, is your body. You have your best internal wisdom inside to tell you what you need at all times. You just have to get rid of the gunk, get rid of all the patterns, all the behaviors, like clean yourself out fully to be able to actually listen and feel on deeper levels what you need. So part of our intuitive eating course is around that. It's like, how do you tune back into the sensations in your body, and how do you know what you need? Well, actually, your body is always telling you mineral wise what you need. Like, Rosie needs bananas. I get a big dose of bananas recently for whatever reason.
I was craving bananas and just went, I was having like two a day, and then all of a sudden we're like, maybe I don't need bananas anymore.
Yeah, and that's when your digestion started to change. So like, it's just kind of going and listening to these cravings. And like for me, I'll go through phases of food where I need something, and then my body gets kind of resistant to it. So then I have to change. So it's like listening to the body and not making it eat the foods that it's resisting, because that's going to cause you inflammation. It's going to cause the opposite effects to what you want. And it's allowing it to not be, to look like a normal meal. So for me, like, I'm just doing the prana cleanse now. My meals are very strange. That I'm not eating much food at all at the moment.
Her wee smells like asparagus.
Very bad. I ate a big plate of asparagus. Asparagus, celery and basil was what I had for dinner last night.
I've been kind of eating asparagus too, but I'm blaming all of the wee smells on Claire.
Because it's quite weird. Like, if you think your wee smells bad after like a few pieces of asparagus,
try a
whole plate of it and see how bad your wee smells.
What I always find fascinating about asparagus is the first wee could be 5 minutes after you've eaten it, and it
smells
of asparagus.
Yeah, it's really
weird. How
does
it get through so quick?
So fast. It like goes straight into your system. I don't know what that is. What is some chemical in
I
here?
I don't know. It's weird. I've never known anything like it. Like, you can do the beetroot test. Have you done that before?
Yeah, and how quickly your wee turns red.
No, your poo.
Oh, your poo.
Yeah, you can do a beetroot test.
It goes through your wee as well.
Yeah, your wee goes a bit pink, but there's like a test you can do to show whether your gut motility is at peak performance or too slow, too
fast.
How
long after should
it be? Yeah,
there's
so many hours. I think, let me see if I can remember. I think it's supposed to
like
be about
6 hours or something.
No, I think it's a healthy gut motility is something like 24 hours after it would be red.
Mine must be pretty good then. Mine would go
faster.
Yeah, yeah, quicker than that.
Well, you don't want it too quick, because that's...
You're not absorbing it.
Yeah, yeah. I think anything below that would be like too quick.
And absorption is so important. Like, this will go back to when I was vegan. My gut was messed up because of the way I was eating, like, loads of beans and everything. So I wasn't able... My system was super inflamed.
Yeah.
In that state, I'm not able to absorb anything. So, like, it's not what you eat, it's what you absorb.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you eat very... Like you were saying about your elimination phase. If you eat very minimal food, but you absorb all of the nutrients from it because your gut is working, you're not going to eat or need to eat as much, and you're not going to be craving as much, and you're not going to need to eat a massive amount of food just to actually get some nutrients from it. Like, I don't barely eat anything anymore.
And it's like energy efficiency, isn't it? Like, and the waste of all that food.
It's not needed.
And then you're not even digesting it or using it. And then you have to try and, then you have to create energy to try and digest it.
Yeah,
so and you're tired.
Exercise.
And then you think you need more food because you're tired. So you eat again.
and it's just getting more clogged.
It's just like this gross dustbin furnace in your in the pit of your stomach. Yeah,
just so. Giggling away to myself and remembering Brezzy's beetroot story where he thought he was weaned blood. that just popped into my head. He was like freaked out because he thought he was peeing blood, but it was actually because he'd eaten beetroot. It was like, there's something wrong with me.
I remember, this is a totally random story, but
we like those.
When I was bodybuilding and I'd gone quite heavily on the diuretics and I hadn't drunk any water.
I've done that.
And I was really ill, actually. I was not well. I woke up in the morning, I think I might have thrown up, and I had the worst migraine. I could barely open my eyes or stand. And then I looked at my poo and it was like grey.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not cool.
Mm.
And I think I went and ate. I had some salt and some water as soon as I saw that. And I think, I can't remember exactly, but I was reading about it. And I think it's when you're really not well. And I think it's when your kidneys start to draw out the salt.
Weird.
From your body and your feces or whatever, because it's like you're imbalanced, so imbalanced, your electrolytes are so imbalanced, your body starts to pull out the minerals or the salts wherever it can, and your poop goes like this weird, like,
weird.
You know when you see dog's poo sometimes on the street and you're like, ugh, that's a weird colour. What the fuck's it been eating?
Like newspaper.
Yeah, it was like that. It really scared me. Really scared me.
Fuck. Yeah. We pushed everything so much on so many levels, especially with diuretics.
It's like spooky.
Not healthy at all, the things that we would have been doing. It's a miracle we actually survived, because it's like even putting your heart under that pressure, like especially when you're messing with electrolytes, like,
it makes me a bit cross as well.
I know.
You know, like the guidance and stuff.
Yeah. Because if you don't know, you're just following these
Well,
protocols.
I was lucky enough that I very rarely did exactly what anyone told me.
You'd listen.
So luckily enough, because what I was told was no, don't drink.
Yeah.
What I did was drink and have a spoonful of salt.
Because you
Whereas someone
that.
Else wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
They would have just listened blindly.
Yeah. And if they're really not in their intuition at all, like, we were blessed that we
still had
some.
They wouldn't have even noticed the poop was a funny colour.
No, they would have been just, that's weird, isn't it? Although you'd notice if you feel like death, but it's like up to you then whether you have some level of trust in yourself to actually change what you're doing, because you feel like you're going to die.
Yeah.
So it's risky. It's just like dancing on ice. It's just not not healthy at all. Really not healthy behaviours. And I just feel really now like very sad towards my body, like, because there was so much self-abuse involved in all of the eating issues. Now I'm really full loop on the self-abuse and really like touching my body going, I'm sorry, you didn't deserve that, that was awful, I'm sorry I put you through that. You, and this is from like one of my number one fractals, was not feeling deserving of love. So what happens? The opposite. You absolutely go into self-hate. I hate myself because I don't deserve love. So you go to the opposite extreme. And now it's like, oh, no, actually, the truth is I do deserve love. And it starts with the self. You need to, and as corny as it is, the self-love becomes a thing. Like, you need to actually feel that and not just do self-care and not, oh, I'm going to pamper myself or go for a massage because I should. It's like, no, actually, or a lot of people end up doing that because they're so wrecked from like not looking after themselves that they need.
No choice. It's like you're gonna die.
Yeah.
So and
doing it from love is much better.
Yeah, and I think like for me that really is the value now for me to really care for myself, and that's why my eating is just so kind of, I don't even know.
It's not a thing.
I don't even know how to explain it, because it's not, there's no
issues.
No, there's nothing going on. It's just like eating when I'm hungry, stopping eating if I'm full, just like eating foods that feel that don't feel inflammatory. Sometimes I still eat stuff that's inflammatory, but it's just knowing it,
it's conscious.
Yeah, it's more conscious. Even something that I started doing like a few weeks ago, I'd bought some Nutella. I wanted some Nutella on toast, and I had it twice and felt horrific.
You chucked it out, didn't you?
Oh, it was disgusting. I threw it out. I felt like I could have fallen asleep for the rest of the day afterwards. It spiked my blood sugar. My gut was bloated. I felt inflamed. And I didn't have a lot. It was like a spread on a piece of toast. And I just felt... And I think, actually, that's another thing. The longer you... The more you implement these things and the more conscious you become, the more heightened you are and the more sensitive you are to things that are not good for you. So it's just like your system can't have it. It won't allow it. But I started having instead, because I realised that I was still kind of wanting chocolate, but I was still buying processed stuff. And I was like, why am I doing that? It's not good for me. So I started using the Suma creamed coconut with cocoa powder and honey and making my own Nutella. And I love it. I love it. And it's like feels so good in my system. And I can have that every day. And it gives me that nice kind of rich, like dark chocolate flavor that I like.
And the fact that you're making it yourself means you're putting care, love, attention, your energy is going into making the food. So it's so much better for you.
Like if you think about all the chemicals and stuff and all the different things that go into like a chocolate bar, and then even like the wrapping, the wrapping paper,
the factory it's been made in,
the people that are advertising, the energy that's coming from that,
any slave kind of labor that's involved in making these foods sometimes as well, like the energy of that is so dense,
the whole way that it's kind of trying to keep people addicted to these sugary things and controlled by them.
Yeah,
like I was consuming that. So yeah, that just didn't feel cool anymore.
And this is kind of where I am with food now as well. Like what's been happening over the last while is I've like this year really showed me a lot, actually, because of lockdown and everything. It was like not being able to mingle or go out and meet people or all of those things, and I'm sure this happened loads of people, started to drink Prosecco. And like the two of us were like
we had a lot of thing going on there.
Where we were drinking Prosecco, it turned into like most evenings at one point. And it was like noticing
that time again.
And noticing, and it all started to happen for me actually. I went on a celery juice cleanse back in January, February, March, and I was drinking loads of celery juice, as I do extreme amounts of it in the morning. And by like towards the evening time, my stomach was starting to get uncomfortable. It wasn't like massive bloating, or it wasn't like diarrhea, it wasn't upset in that way. It was like literally I had a really big feeling of discomfort in my stomach. And I started to crave things like bread and alcohol and stuff that I wouldn't normally crave before. And like bread, I was never a big bread eater, and I just started eating bread like to get rid of this feeling in my stomach, and started drinking Prosecco because that was what it was feeling like was going to quieten this kind of really uncomfortable feeling. And I started to blame the celery juice. So instead of blaming the bread and the Prosecco, I blamed the celery juice.
I'm just getting this vision of like you with like two people holding you back because you're like sticking up for the Prosecco, like, don't you dare say that about my Prosecco.
And then kind of, so I got rid of the celery juice instead of the Prosecco. And then realizing over a period of time, because I really cleaned up my food, well, it wasn't unhealthy, but it was like eating stuff like bread is not for me.
Then
kind of delving into it, realizing that that feeling was actually not, didn't feel like me, like that uncomfortable feeling, I had to delve into it. And only in the last few months have I become aware that actually that, because I've been really delving on an energy level with food and on a vibrational level. And I was here before when I did the raw food diet years ago. I knew about all of this,
but with not the same awareness.
So when you realize how everything is and how energy is and how we are all conscious and all of our cells are conscious, and then anything else has a consciousness as well. So the enzymes in fruit that are alive have their own consciousness. The enzymes in chocolate and how that's made is a different frequency. So everything is frequency. This is science. It's like Einstein discovered this, that everything can be measured on a frequency vibrational level.
Yeah, it has like a, I can't remember what the quote is, but it's just something like everything is energy.
Isn't it E equals MC squared? I think that is the energy sequence. I think that's what it is. Yeah. But I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But I think that is it. But yeah, there's actually a scale, a mechanism to measure food frequency now. So I realized this a few months ago where, all right, if everything is energy, then what bacteria is in my stomach? Because your stomach bacteria forms a massive part of your system. They are all little cells communicating with all of your cells all day long, telling you, driving your behaviors, basically. Exactly.
Go and drink the Prosecco, my love.
And if you think
about, really like that though, yeah, it's creepy as hell.
It is creepy. And if you think about what you've welcomed into your system, if I think about the years of like bodybuilding and what I was welcoming in, even just on an energy level, the people I would have been around, the vibration I was in, the massive hate for myself, some of that stomach bacteria was still there. It was still living in my system. So they were still telling me to do certain things. So that bacteria is actually driving your behavior. And this is why it can feel like you have no control over these things. Because actually there's a full entity in your stomach that is a certain frequency that is telling you to eat bread, because that actually is what that entity wants, because
to
the frequency
survive and thrive.
The frequency is low. So if you think about the bacteria you would have had to form to digest these things, is the same frequency as that food. So you're being driven to eat these low frequency, low vibrational death foods, basically. And that was what I realized. So I was like, all right, it wasn't the celery juice. That was actually the discomfort, was this bacteria
that was killing
dying.
The bacteria, and it took over your system.
It didn't want to die. Yeah. And this makes so much sense to me now that I've gone through it again. And it's needed to clean that out. So I needed to really do a full, and I mean a full cleanse this time, was like, I've just done 10 days of barely eating. I'm on day 11 now. And I've only had, the first 3 days I had some fruit and the high vibrational food, fruit only, it was just melon and some honey. And then the next 7 days I didn't eat anything, it was just water. And for me it was really interesting actually, because my body was suddenly absorbing energy from water. This is what I'm thinking it is. I need to do some research on it, but I was drinking like 3 liters of water at night and not weeing barely at all the next day. I was like, where is that water going? It's like my food started to convert it into energy. And if you look into...
Sorry, I was just laughing before because I feel like Claire's turning into Jesus. She's turning the water into, you know,
bread.
The whole water into to wine thing. She's just kind of turning it into energy.
Prosecco.
Instead of wee. Yeah.
So weird, but...
When she starts pissing out Prosecco, I'm out of here. I'm gone, I'm done.
I'm going to start bottling that shit and selling it. I've turned water into wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through my body.
Vagina.
How funny. But we do have these beliefs. We have these beliefs around food. And this is really for me to push, like we practice what we preach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to push these things, like systems of beliefs that we have. And it's like, all right, where have my beliefs come from around food? Very much consumerism, very much societal, very much you need to eat this amount of food and here's the food pyramid and this is what you should eat. Who decided all of that shit? If we actually go back to us as humans and what we're made of, we're made of light. We're all made of frequencies of light, okay? And what are the elements in that? It's like hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, and what's the other one? Hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, and oxygen. Yeah, so we're air as well. So if you go into pranic, there's pranic practices. So you can, and this is a thing, and it actually comes from yoga, which is very ancient, like thousands and thousands of years old. It comes from all of these Eastern kind of cultures where they would have had practices where they don't eat at all. So they sit in rice fields and meditate and absorb the water from the air. They don't drink either, so that's how they get their water. And then the air has all of these four elements in it. So if you do breath work and if you do practices like sitting in the sun where you can absorb energy. So if you think about food as energy.
And you're not running around like in our culture, because of kind of like the economic structures, we are
chasing
under pressure to work, to earn money, to live.
To eat.
Yeah, to eat and pay for things to...
Soothe
be
ourselves.
Happy and soothe. Fuck. Oh my God, the cycle
such
is mental.
A mental loop.
And obviously, we don't have to go and sit in fields and meditate all day, but we can just step back a little bit and be like, okay, what is this nonsense? What is this extreme cycle of energy? Just like a dustbin. Yeah, it's really quite
amazing.
Insane, isn't
it? It's like when you really look at it as well, and actually when you just start to practice these things, you start to understand them. So when I first heard of this pranic living, it was actually back when I was doing yoga years ago in India, and I thought about it and I was like, oh, that's clearly just for the gurus or the sages that live in the mountains that don't have to do anything. And to a certain extent, yes, you if you do choose that life, you kind of do end up isolating yourself away from the madness, because that pulls you into that energy. But there are people, and I have examples of people in my life who are living on prana. And this is breatharian, and this is going to sound completely bonkers to most people, because when I heard of this first, I was like, yeah, no, that's probably an eating disorder. But now, actually exploring it myself, I understand the energetics of it. Like, we get the same elements from air and water than we do from food. We just have to assimilate them from food, because we've learned how to do that. And if our body isn't used to getting energy from water and air... Air is the main one, actually, because you can get rid of water if you learn how to assimilate air properly. our bodies have gotten very far away from that. So it's not like you can just stop eating tomorrow, because then you will die. It's a process of it falling away, and
the breath is just huge, isn't it?
And you just becoming more energy efficient in your emotional, energetic body leads you to not need as much food. So I'll tell you now, yesterday I ate some melon, I had a few spoons of honey, and I had a plate of asparagus and celery and basil, and that's all I ate, and I felt perfect, and my brain function was amazing.
And I think it's for people to understand as well that because we actually overeat, the way that our bodies have to try and work so hard to digest all of that, we actually end up deficient in a lot of minerals and vitamins because of this whole process of eating. So when you go through like quite intensive fasts, people will be like, what, you're gonna starve, you're gonna be deficient. No, you become more, what's the opposite of deficient, deficiencies?
Abundant.
Your body becomes more abundant and more efficient. We're fucking coming up with all these weird words.
Clearly the brains are sharp. It's early in the morning.
Yeah, your body starts to not break down and need to replace these vitamins so intensively. Mm-hmm. So you just, like our natural state before our kind of consume, this kind of gross consumerism that we're at now, our states were designed to be able to stay in balance with all these vitamins and minerals. You wouldn't have been getting as many deficiencies. So
yeah, and we're light kind of beings. We're designed to live on nothing, actually. And we've just evolved to this state that we're in at the moment. And it's to know as well, like, if you do a cleanse, like the cleanse that I did involved taking out food for a long period of time and allowing my body to repair cell autophagy, putting in certain herbal remedies to actually kill any bacteria or pathogens that are in there, knowing that you can't just go from binge eating to that.
Yeah.
There has to be a process.
There's steps. And that's like what we've shared today, that we didn't get from where we were to here without doing all of those steps.
Yeah.
There's so much value in all of those different steps.
Mm-hmm. You need to implement whatever feels right for you at the time.
Yeah.
And there's no way I could have done this last 10 days a year ago even. Well, then I probably could have done it a year ago. But even on the level of understanding I have as to why. So for me to do this, I needed to connect to the value in actually not having those behaviours that would lead me to crave bread and Prosecco.
Yeah.
Like, that is not me. And I knew that wasn't me. And it was like bringing that into my awareness allowed me to connect to why I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And then also experiment so that I could share it.
Yeah.
And it's like, see how I feel and just seeing how productive I get. Like, every time I fast, I get ridiculously productive. Creative flow goes through the roof. And then also really like to add in here that unless you have a value in connecting to why you are living and what you are here creating, like unless you really connect it to your purpose, you're not going to be able to do these things for your body that will allow you to be fully serving your purpose, because the value isn't there to live fully.
Yeah.
You're kind of caught in loops of not really being fulfilled.
Yeah.
And being fulfilled in what you're doing in life is very important to have your food balanced.
Yeah.
So like they all kind of go hand in hand. For me, that's like my number one realization of when I woke up and really started to delve was actually needs to connect to a higher purpose, which is what we're doing now with our business. It's like, oh, this is why I'm here, to help people and to help people be the most vibrant, energetic versions of themselves that they could possibly be. And I was like, that feels cool. I need to be that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this lifelong journey for us to be continually just going in that direction so that we can be clearer and more present for the people that we work with.
More experienced as well, and just sharing from all of our new experiences. So you will never hear us sitting on something saying this is the way. Like, we have done many ways, and what we know from that is none of it's the way. It's all a way to get to where you're going, and that is clearer, clearer, clearer.
Yeah, it's like I always visualize it as like just like steps. There's lots of steps that you can kind of hop onto, like you're on a river and there's like stones. Keep you from going under, and it's like, ah, that's still not there yet, but this is definitely helping me stop from drowning.
It's kind of then getting to the shore, and then it's like, all right, I'm going to climb the mountain. I was like, all right, what happens at the top of the mountain? Enlightenment. And then you die.
And then you turn into Jesus like Claire.
Prosecco.
But also just something to kind of talk about is the what's the word, the intentions behind things we were chatting before. And when you were talking earlier about like all the different foods having a certain vibrational mm-hmm. frequency, and that's, you know, you want to be going towards these kind of vibrations mm. that like lift you up and lighten you.
Yeah.
And also to kind of note on top of that, the intention that you come in with mm. can also, like the consciousness. So if you're coming into something with a certain amount of consciousness, that lightens it even further. So mm-hmm. even, for example, if you were someone that was going to have a glass of Prosecco or a chocolate bar, that is like a lower, classed as like a lower vibration to say fruit, like mm-hmm. watermelon. Mm-hmm. But the intention that you have behind it, so if it's from this place of kind of self-loathing or trying to soothe something, mm-hmm. ignoring, mm-hmm. that is going to lower the vibration of that even more in your system.
It, yeah. yeah.
Whereas if you're at a conscious place where you're like, well, I know I have this kind of pattern of soothing. Today I'm going to choose to still do that and I'm okay with it. I'm not judging myself. It's still a low vibration
element,
yeah. but you're not going to compound it, so you can kind of lift it a little bit with that consciousness. So it's all about bringing more and more consciousness mm-hmm. to kind of raise that yeah. vibration.
Like, I'm not going to say, sit on here and say I'm never drinking Prosecco again, because that's probably not going to happen, but it could fall away. I mean, stranger yeah. things have happened. Coffee's fallen away, so yeah. I'm like not saying it, but if I wanted to celebrate something and I had a glass of Prosecco,
it's a totally different vibration.
It's not like I'm trying to avoid or soothe, or yeah. it's a daily thing. It's like, yeah. actually there's joy in this, and yeah. I'm celebrating a meal.
I'm connecting with friends, and yeah. this feels like it's going to actually finish off the day with even more joy.
Yeah. And then it lifts your vibration,
exactly.
actually. Because joy is everything on that level, because yeah. you're connecting to joy in a deep level. It's super healing yeah. for you to be yeah. in that state. So it's like knowing that some people will say, you know, the YOLO, like you only live once, and oh, life is for celebrating and all of this. But if you're doing that every day, mm. your state is not going to be healthy and you're not going to feel good. And we can kind of use that as an excuse to over celebrate, which is what we were doing.
Yeah, like you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, well, you only live once. You don't want to die and think, what
Miss
about
moments.
All those cakes that I didn't eat? But it's like, what's it making you feel like? Mm. Like, yeah, you do, well, we never really die, but you know, this one existence that we're experiencing now, do you want to experience it with inflammation, bloating, so
being unhappy with yourself, feeling shit every day, all those things?
Yeah,
like making those choices.
Yeah
It's not good to be in that state.
And like, I really would have felt that at one point with the binge eating.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I was scared to stop binge eating, because it felt like that was one of my joys, junk food.
You're connected to it, yeah.
I was
like,
but I used to think, well, my life will be shit without that, which wasn't true. But like, you feel like that, oh, you only live once, like you don't want to stop drinking.
Yeah.
You're going to stop eating pork pies? What? Like, do you know what I mean? But it's like, no, that's like making your life better.
And we're not saying like you need to make decisions about, oh, well, I can't do that anymore. Like we said, if it's a celebration, it's not like you need to celebrate every day.
Yeah.
You're just massively out of balance if you're doing that. But if you're at a party, and is it about the moments that you're sharing, or is it about the food?
Yeah.
Or is it about the fact that you don't care either way? You're not restricting yourself. So it's like, I will consciously choose to eat whatever that is, knowing I'm going to feel this way. Or I just will choose not to eat that, and maybe I'll eat this because that will suit my system better. But it's
yeah.
still one of those frequency foods.
Yeah.
It's okay. Your body yeah. will be able to assimilate it, because you're not eating it from a place of beating yourself up.
Mm.
And it's totally different.
Mm.
And it's not a continual everyday behavior where the stomach bacteria changes to match that frequency. So if you want to be high frequency, and for me, the massive value in doing this now is I want to be as high a frequency as possible, so that I'm super, buzzing.
I swear one day I'm just going to be like, what? Like, Claire's just going to be like translucent. Claire, is that you?
Like, I don't know what happened. I'm breathing a lot of air.
Those images.
Holograms.
Your hologram.
That's where we're going. We are becoming lighter as beings,
our
frequency is raising. And what's going on now in the world with this coronavirus madness is that we're all being massively forced to look at ourselves. So our frequency is being forced towards one aspect or the other. So it's going, driving polarity towards a high frequency and a low frequency. Not that one is better than the other. Both of them are needed to balance the planet.
Mm.
But it's going to catapult us towards massive growth as a species.
It's the evolution of humanity.
Yeah.
So
we're getting lighter. Yeah. We're getting more aware. We're getting more vibrant. Our frequencies are raising. And energy is everything. Mm. And we're starting to realize that this... going to be a lot coming out.
Yeah, like we, this week when I was on my course, we're doing somatic movement, and one of the things that came up was, because it's all about listening to the sensations in the body, and one of the girls was describing how she'd felt before she came into the course, and she said it was like a real, like, thickness, like a density to her body and her senses. And then as we moved through all the different practices, we were like noticing how we were becoming more like air and fluid. And it was like, oh, that's really cool, actually. Like, how many ways, how many things can you do, and how many ways can you make yourself feel
lighter
and like fluid and air instead of that contracted dense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I could really visualize it because we do so much stuff around the kind of energetic side of things. I was like,
makes
sense. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And then someone that is too much in another element, they can do the opposite. So they could become like a rock or a mountain or like, it's like even just that belief level that I am this and this is my body and this is how dense I am. It's like, well, can I change that belief?
Yeah.
And what practices can I do to actually change my state as well?
Yeah, and how many scenarios are going on in your life right now that you believe are one way and stuck? Like, people get so stuck. Mm-hmm. I've felt that before, where I've literally thought, like, I had no options, and it's like, what a load of nonsense that is. You know, so in how many ways, like, the cognitive, the emotional, the body, physical, are we feeling stuck and setting these beliefs that we feel like we're one way when actually we're completely fluid and flexible and changeable?
Yeah, and how exciting to connect to the fact that we are ever expanding and we have limitless potential literally as a being. So it's like, if we can get rid of all of these limiting beliefs, please, that we cannot do these things and that we need to eat a certain amount of food or we'll die. Like, there's so many people who will feel like, oh, I'd die if I did that. Like, when I do these fasts, people, I know it's extreme. Yeah, be careful, you'll die. But then it does sound extreme. I realize that it's very hard to absorb this information if you are mad caught in a loop where we used to be.
Didn't you feel ill? Weren't you tired? No.
No, I actually felt better than I've ever felt in my life.
My friend did 28 days.
There you go.
Just on water.
Yeah.
And he felt amazing.
Well, I know a few people that haven't eaten since February this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty intense, but
that's pranic. And that is them doing breath
work. It's just doing all the practices. That's the important part, isn't it? Not just... And all the understanding of it as well.
Yeah. And actually, you get to a point if you're in those lifestyles where you don't need to do the practices anymore because your body becomes that efficient.
You get to a new homeostasis, don't you?
Yeah.
Your body will keep
the energy
shifting, and your natural kind of homeostasis will be less reliant.
Yeah.
You're on no longer like external.
Yeah. And you're no longer cycling through nutrients. You are keeping the nutrients you have, and they're being replenished through air, through sun naturally. So you don't have to overdo the breathing or overdo the sun.
It's
super interesting because if you think about it, we've become externally reliant on food. It's something external to ourselves. Whereas before, we had all of the abilities to create all of these nutrients and minerals and keep them in our system from different things.
We've lost, we've been shut off to our kind of ancient
capacity.
Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of coming through again now, isn't it? And people are becoming more aware of like our true power and our true potential.
And you only really get the wisdom of this from experience. So even me saying, like, on this fast that I was drinking 3 liters of water and not needing to go to the toilet, I was like, well, my body's obviously assimilating this water for energy.
Mm.
It's like, okay, I'm not giving it food, so it's using the water. Now it actually makes sense to me now that we're going through it.
Mm.
It's like, okay, that's new information for me because that didn't happen to me before. If I was eating food and I drank 3 liters of water, I'd be on the toilet all night, probably.
Super interesting. Also as well, like, have you needed to drink more water or just...
I was drinking more.
And then stopped.
So now I'm not drinking as much unless I have a bath and I'm sweating.
Because also when you eat a lot, you have to try and drink. You have to try and drink a lot to keep your gut
moving,
hydrated, so that you don't get constipated. But you wouldn't have that issue. So eventually, like, you wouldn't need as much as well.
Water. Yeah. And the pranic people don't drink either. So they end up being that efficient that they're not losing. I know.
Just imagine how you think your mouth would be dry though.
Pretty. Well, I don't know. I don't know personally anyone who's pranic that doesn't drink teas and stuff. And the people who are doing it are very minimal. And actually for me, the most appealing lifestyle for me now is, which is the next phase that I'm on, is the high vibrational food. So it's about eating stuff that is a frequency that I'm happy with, and where it's been prepared, where it's come from, what kind of intentions put into the food. And I feel like I'm going to probably eat some fish, but I'm going to keep it to this minimal fruit and vegetables that are making me feel good, because I feel really good. I'm sharp. I feel flowy.
And you look great too.
Thanks.
She's just sparkling over here.
I just like to say as well, it's not about, for me, it was very important that none of this is about my body and how it looked. It's like all about how I feel. So yes, my body is changing, but I'm not trying to change it. This is just a result of my choices. So I had to push, like I said, I had to push away from needing to control my shape. So I let myself go. I allowed my body to be whatever it wanted to be, which meant that I'm not shredded anymore. But now, kind of coming after fully pushing that limit, which is what you have to do when you've been in polarities, you have to go the other way. Yeah. I feel like I'm coming back to balance, where I actually want to feel like top energy wise. I want to feel very efficient. I want to feel vibrant. I want to feel alive. I don't want to be drained. I don't want my food to be taking energy to digest. So I feel this has been all about feeling energetically high, as opposed to looking different or changing my shape at all.
Also, I guess because you've kind of connected a little bit back to
yoga
and movement, there's something like when you're doing yoga and dancing and stuff, like we mentioned in one of the other episodes, there's a kind of lightness to the body that makes all of that more beautiful, and the experience is nicer. So it's almost like your kind of body is just naturally going
back to that
for that as well.
And it's from a different place now. So when I was
doing, the intention is so different.
The intention is completely different. So when I was doing yoga before, the intention was to be good at yoga, actually. So that was what was driving me to eat the way I was eating. And also I was...
But it was from a kind of performance, competitive place, wasn't it?
So it wasn't from... Part of it was I wanted to be super healthy. Like, I was obsessed with health, but that wasn't from the same place. Now it's like, actually, I want to feel amazing rather than I want to be healthy.
Yeah.
Because back then as well, I was following the vegan thing because that's what you do as a yogi. So it's like, actually, the place that came from was just me, an external belief system, as opposed to me guiding it. So now I'm really listening to what my body's telling me, which is be lighter, be vibrationally light, so that you can be in a space of complete presence around people and clients and all of that thing. So it's like, that's the connection for me. And now when I do yoga, and even just a small amount of it, or anything like that is about moving energy. When we do massages, I'm super sensitive,
dialed in.
Like, I can feel the energy straight away. The minute I take some breaths, and like, my body just goes boom, okay, I'm on. And it's like super sensitive. And some people have eating disorders because they're too sensitive and they're trying to get away from all the feelings that they have because they can feel so many people around them. And I feel like this is part for me. A lot of the people that I follow, like Lee Harris, he had an eating disorder and he was super sensitive. And I feel like a lot of people who are sensitive energetically, or you could call them empaths.
Because it like numbs
the feelings, yeah.
And like brings you back to that kind of more dense place.
Not as awake.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot around that. Like, I remember the story about my cat when I was on a psychedelic trip, and I saw, like, my cat had lost his hearing and he'd been poorly, but he also had a binge eating disorder. He definitely mirrored me. And I was watching him on this psychedelic trip, and I could see that. I was like, oh my God. Because it was like he was eating from a place of fear, trying to soothe stuff, overeating, always begging for food. And then through that, he'd gotten a bit ill, well, not through the eating, but his system was probably not great because of overeating. Mm-hmm. And then he'd lost his hearing in his ears. So I was like, oh my God, when you feed the fear, you lose your senses. Mm-hmm. It shuts off your senses, so you're deaf, blind,
like
dumb.
Like our vision went so bad when we were binge eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, it's like you lose...
your abilities, your gifts.
Yeah, your psychic abilities to connect to the higher part of you and everything. And it was like, whoa, man, so profound.
I love these insights.
I know.
But when you do start to understand energy on this level... and it's only through experience. I know most people listening to this will be like, those two have lost the plot. One's only living on asparagus now. The other one's just away taking mushrooms and LSD.
And she won't masturbate anymore.
And that's been another thing, like on an energy level, it's like masturbation's your sexual energy, you're messing with it.
Yeah.
And it's like actually keeping that in and honing it and using it for different things, mm-hmm. like creativity. Mm-hmm. It's like another level of energy. If we're just talking about energy, it's like, who are you around? What are you consuming? Like, what are you looking in the media? What kind of frequencies are you absorbing through uh-huh. everything that's in your awareness? Uh-huh. What kind of emotions are running you? Are you in fear because of this coronavirus? You know, is that your frequency? And if that is the state you're in, you're going to naturally go towards those lower frequency foods.
Yeah.
And that is just going to be a pattern that you can get stuck in. It's kind of just bringing awareness to these layers that are illusions, actually. So many illusions.
Like, we don't have a TV. We don't watch the news. We will, like, absolutely try the best to not have anything actually in the awareness that is, like, on that fear vibration.
Like, even if we have to go somewhere, that's the only time we have to check travel.
It's such a blag.
I know.
Like, when I got back, because I'd been in Cheltenham for a week, and it was quite strict over there, and... we were eating out a lot and I was having to get trains and stuff. So all of a sudden it was very much in my awareness that there was all this mad stuff going on with new rules, track and trace and everything. And I came back and I was like, oh God,
you were
the
mad.
The world's going to end.
I was like, you're all right. It's not.
Fine. And then after a day I was like, oh, I feel fine again now. Jesus Christ.
It's funny as well because I could feel that when you came back. It's like you had city vibration in your system. Yeah. It was just like...
I felt tinny. Exhausted, actually. Mm. I felt exhausted. It took me like a full day and long bath and stuff to kind of neutralise that.
Yeah, and it does. You absorb a little bit of everything around you.
Yeah.
So if you're hanging around in a city that has a certain vibration, which is why its environment is so important.
Mm.
And one of the big things around food issues is your environment. Like we talked about this already, but we have a full module in our course on it about how sometimes when you change your environment, it allows you the chance to reset and choose a new vibration and live somewhere that is healthier, being in nature and around the frequency of nature as opposed to a city, or even just changing your home environment or getting rid of certain technical or technology stuff.
And the opposite, like if you really, really trying to kind of explore making some changes in your life, and you're kind of doing all these things and you're doing the practices and you're reading, and but then your environment is kind of in this low vibration and you're constantly being exposed to things that kind of keep you down, it does make it harder for you.
It's to just kind of re-exposing to those frequencies.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, can't change because that's still there and it's still overruling and overriding and guiding you in some unconscious level. So it's unconscious until you bring awareness to it. Then it's conscious. You have to look at it.
Yeah.
You can't not see it.
And it's very hard to not do something about it then.
Yeah. If you're really looking at truth and you're not trying to hide behind your patterns and you're not trying to get stuck in a label, because we get very attached to, oh, I have this issue, oh, I am just this way, or I'm just the beliefs that we have around who we are and our eating disorder that we just have for life. Or it's like, actually, that's you keeping you stuck because you don't want to look at the pain. You don't want to be uncomfortable. You don't want to go through that phase where it is very uncomfortable. And it is about sitting with the discomfort and going through it to break through to the other side, which is massive.
Welcome to the other side.
And it feels so good. I feel good. That is, it makes you want to sing and dance.
Oh, no.
It's like, actually, it'd be a nice way to round this off to kind of let you guys know that.
I thought you were going to say we just sing a little song.
No.
We'll finish.
Well, Rosie can sing.
Yeah. Go on, what you
saying. To know that, like, the depth of the pain and the struggle that you're going through right now, if you have any of these issues, to know that whatever deep pain and hurt you're feeling now, the other side is the light and the expansion and the joy and the happiness and the freedom. And that's where we are dancing now, happily and thankfully, and feeling very like thankful that we've been able to wake up and move through this stuff, because the other side is very amazing. It's very flowy. Yeah. It's like knowing when you're aware that you can take full ownership and always take charge to change things. If you notice something is ineffective or not working for you, or some behavior that you have, there is another side to the story, and it is massively light and it feels better than you can ever imagine. And it's to know that everybody can be on that side of the story of your issues. Food is not the issue. There is an issue there that needs to be looked at, and it's to delve into what it is.
Yeah, and just super excited to
share the course.
To share the course in November. We have worked really, really hard. Very, very proud of this work.
Meticulously.
Yeah.
To include everything.
We just kept on adding more because we were like, we need to share this. We need, like, there were so many things. We really haven't left anything out to this point, and we'll probably just keep adding.
We'll definitely keep adding.
Always find new things. but yeah, if anyone is kind of resonating with the things that we've spoken about in the food is not the issue part one, and then this one, get in touch with us, and we would love to share more about what this course consists of, and how you go about joining.
Yeah, and there's just nothing out there that exists. This is why we're so proud of it. It's like, we could have really done with this resource. This would have saved us many years of our experimenting.
This is like, guys, this is years of combined, of experience and testing and trialing things that we are just sharing with you. You don't have to go scroll through Google, you don't have to go to these different meetings and trying to find the right book, trying to find, it's like everything is in there.
Yeah, because we've tried everything that doesn't work as well, you know. So it's like, save you that hassle, because we could have done with a resource that would have helped us to do that. But also knowing it, this resource wouldn't exist had we not decided to really try and figure this out, and we did it.
So we will be back, and with some more weird and wonderful topics to cover. Message us, let us know if there's anything you'd like to know more about, and we will look forward to sharing the course in November.
Keep your vibrations high, guys.
And remember, food is not the issue.
Yo, yo.
Time to listen up and download with Claire and Rosie. They're gonna be talking deep and meaningful.
Yo, yo.
Oh.
.com.